Loose Cannon by Callie-Anne Hamilton. Episode 2, The Lore Treaders. Act 1. Pun intended consequences. Just as the genie's arm swung down to deliver the fatal blow, his whole body convulsed like a ripple in the very fabric of reality. Nausea swarmed through him, and he stumbled, dropping the knife. It landed with a muffled thud on the carpet, and he stared in shock at his hand, which was warping erratically into ink and paper before his eyes. The moment passed, and his hand settled back into flesh and bone. He flexed it experimentally. He had no sooner regained his composure when Mr. Clifford's digital clock flashed 6 a.m., and the room filled with a blaring alarm. The genie jumped and swung around to stare at the little device. Mr. Clifford's groaned and ran his hand over his face. The genie hesitated, still clutching his racing heart at the surprise. Indecision gripped him as Chrissy's father began to paw tiredly at his bedside table. The genie released his breath slowly in a growl and stooped to collect his knife from the floor. There was so much to learn about this new world still, and while just as capable of killing a waking human as a sleeping one, the genie decided in that moment to lie low a little longer, at least until he understood the transformation that had just afflicted him. Perhaps there was some manner of arcane ward protecting this room. Whatever the reason, the man would be spared. For now. By the time Mr. Clifford's opened his sleep-blurred eyes, the genie was gone. Mid-morning sunlight was streaming into Chrissy's bedroom by the time the bedraggled teen stirred. She blinked, disoriented. 2 weeks and she still wasn't quite used to waking up to the sight of her new room in Rosetta. She wiped her face with a grimace. She'd slept so hard she actually drooled. With a disgusted grunt, she propped herself up on her pillow. Her bleary eyes happened across a note on her nightstand.
Chrissy, we decided to let you sleep in today. We're off to the marathon. We'll be home around noon. Call if you need anything. Love, Mom.
Chrissy grunted and flopped back onto her pillow, too dizzy and sore to be disappointed at being left behind. She was usually 100% up for any athletic event, but this morning, she felt like she'd been hit by a car. Her brow furrowed at that thought. Something was flitting just at the peripheral of her memory.
I don't suppose you plan on letting me out anytime soon,
said a disgruntled voice. Chrissy lurched up from her bed, and her startled eyes fell upon the genie draped on her desk chair.
Oh my gosh!
Chrissy wheezed, scrambling to her feet.
You made me a superhero!
She scampered to her mirror, triggering that strange sense of heat that she remembered from the night before, and transformed on the spot. The skinny, freckly, bedhead teenager in the mirror became a skinny, freckly superhero, glossy chestnut hair piled around her.
Oh, man!
You forgot?
The genie said, indignant as Spark pranced giddily on the spot. Her happy bubble punctured at his disgust. She powered down to her normal self, tutting plaintively.
Oh, give me a break! It's a lot to take in! I promise I won't forget again! Oh, what the...
She tried to pat his shoulder in consolation, but her hand slipped right through his hazy arm without resistance.
Were you ghostly like this yesterday?
I require the touch of a sentient being to maintain my contact with the physical realm.
What's a sentient being?
Chrissy asked, waving both of her hands through him. The genie flinched instinctively, even though he could feel nothing.
Wow, this is so weird and cool.
Just touch the lamp,
he snarled.
Oh,
Chrissy said, understanding, clicking on like a light switch.
Got it!
She snapped with both hands, pointing finger guns at him, before turning to trot back over to the backpack she dumped unceremoniously beside her bed.
Is this what all the stories mean about rubbing the lamp?
She asked over her shoulder. The genie tilted his head.
No rubbing required. A touch is sufficient to free me from the ether realm.
The ether realm, huh?
Chrissy repeated, rifling around in her backpack. Her fingers brushed cold silvery metal, like the kind the genie wore around his neck, and his hazy silhouette solidified. He sighed softly in relief.
It is the between place,
he said quietly. He followed Chrissy as she led him down the stairs and into the kitchen in her search for breakfast.
If I go too long without my lamp receiving contact, I become trapped within that place. My connection to the world begins to fade. After a time, I cannot touch or be touched. Longer still, I cannot be seen by any but my master. Then, I cannot be heard. Then, the darkness comes.
Chrissy scanned his brooding face.
Are you afraid of the darkness?
She asked softly. The genie seemed to come to himself, aware that he had given the impression that he had a vulnerability. His troubled expression changed at once to a sneer.
Huh. When you have lived as long as I have, and seen what I have seen, nothing will scare you anymore.
Just then, Chrissy's strudel popped from the toaster with a mechanical click, and the genie visibly jumped. Chrissy giggled.
Nothing but the toaster, you mean?
She said, brandishing her pastry at him. The genie looked ruffled.
What sorcery is this?
He grumbled, inspecting the toaster with great dislike. Chrissy puffed through her lips and rolled her eyes, though she smiled.
It's not sorcery. It's just modern technology.
Her face lit up with an idea.
Oh, look at this. It'll blow your mind,
she said, dragging the genie to the living room. He frowned at her touch, and he rubbed his wrist as if she had dirtied him when she let go to dig between the couch cushions for the TV remote. The flat-screen TV glowed to life with the touch of a button.
This is a television! High definition!
Chrissy sang with a sassy bob of her head. The genie stared speechlessly at the screen, his expression stranded between alarm and awe as flickering images reflected in his eyes and jewelry. The voice of the morning news reporter filled the room.
Are still investigating reports that monsters are responsible for the severe damage sustained by the Rosetta Public Library last night. The incident reportedly occurred between 6:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Three deaths have been confirmed.
Chrissy hastily jabbed at the volume button, her eyes round.
Oh my gosh, they're talking about last night! That monster! Three people died!
The genie laughed humorlessly and lounged into an armchair.
The Guardian has claimed far more lives than that.
Chrissy looked at him searchingly.
Where did it come from?
Don't you know? The Guardian and I were imprisoned in Ali Sahin's inescapable pit.
Chrissy frowned.
Well, geez, I mean, this town is a bit of a bummer, but I wouldn't call it an inescapable pit.
The genie ran his clawed fingertips through his hair, regarding the television with a look of discomfort.
The world is very different than I remember it. How long was I in that hellish hole?
I don't remember seeing a hole, hellish or otherwise. All I know is Ugly McSmokestack was rampaging through the library and then your lamp fell on me.
The genie's confused scowl deepened further.
That doesn't make any sense.
Chrissy tapped her cheek.
Maybe we'll figure out something if we go back to the library,
she suggested, then grimaced.
Whatever's left of it, anyway. Stay right here. I'm gonna go get dressed.
She tossed the lamp onto the couch and thundered back up the stairs while the reporter on the television relayed breaking news.
Receiving report of an incident on Saffron Avenue and Rosetta Boulevard. Details are still forthcoming, but civilians are urgently advised to avoid the area.
Chrissy cavorted along the sidewalk of Saffron Avenue, the genie in grudging tow. They were only one block west of Rosetta's downtown, but at this hour on a weekend, it was quiet. Small, white-collar businesses lined one side of the street. The other side was occupied by a large, empty parking garage.
Wow, it's really dead out here,
Chrissy said, looking around.
Then again, compared to Austin, it always feels dead around here. I guess everyone's at that marathon.
She supposed it was convenient. There were fewer people to stare and wonder at the odd man with the pointed ears and slit-pupiled eyes in the Arabian Nights getup. On that thought, she clapped her hands together and beamed at the genie.
I still need to pick a name for you. And you know, I was thinking, since I am a superhero now, you can be my sidekick.
Oh, goody.
And that means you get a super cool sidekick name,
she sang. The genie didn't look thrilled at the prospect, but Chrissy wouldn't let that dampen her excitement. She dug around in the fanny pack her mom had filled with high-protein chuckle bars for the marathon, but had evidently forgotten on the counter. It looked a little silly, but it was just the right size for the lamp.
Let's see, you're a genie,
she began, twirling the handle of the lamp around her finger as she thought. The genie watched her with reproach.
Ooh, what about Gene? Two on the nose? No, something more mysterious. Wait, Mr. E? Yes!
She slapped her thigh with delight.
That can be your civilian name. It's just the right level of dorky. The E should stand for something, though. Edward? Eric? Ezekiel? We'll come back to that. More importantly, you still need a cool superhero alias. Maybe something with Wish?
Death Wish, perhaps?
The genie suggested snidely. His contempt sailed right over Chrissy's head.
Oh, that's a good one! But it sounds a little too sinister. More like a villain name. You're a good guy,
she told him.
So you need to have a name that sounds heroic.
The genie let out a peal of scornful chuckles.
Heroic. Right.
He drawled.
Listen, I think I'd best leave the heroics to you. Leave me to what I'm really good at. Granting wishes.
He looked Chrissy up and down with calculating eyes.
A sprightly young girl like yourself. Let me guess. You want a new gown, a white stallion, and a solid gold carriage.
That's genius! I could totally use that until I get my driver's license! No more walking home from school for me! But scratch the ball gown, and put spikes on the carriage wheels. Can the horse be black? What about a steel carriage instead of gold? Ooh, with superhero decals!
The genie was rather taken aback, but being the expressive fellow that he was, he merely arched an eyebrow.
You may have whatever you desire, mistress.
Chrissy rubbed her chin, pondering over the possibilities with glittering eyes.
Maybe?
She began excitedly, but the genie cut her off by holding a hand to her mouth, stopping her in her tracks.
Think very carefully, pet. Never just fire off a wish. You got lucky with your bizarre request yesterday, but, heaven forbid you were to word a wish wrong. I'd be forced to grant you something you don't want, or worse, something dangerous. A few of my past masters have met very gruesome ends that way.
A shiver trickled down Chrissy's spine.
What's the worst wish you've ever granted?
She asked in a whisper.
I don't want to talk about it,
the genie said. He touched his fingertips together and tapped them against his lips, looking over Chrissy with shrewd eyes.
Let's focus on you.
He circled around Chrissy, examining her.
You have a terrible complexion,
he observed. He cupped her face in both of his hands.
Such a sallow color. Freckles, blemishes, don't these hurt?
He asked, brushing his fingertips across the red bumps that traced Chrissy's cheekbones. Chrissy squirmed and turned away from him.
Mostly my pride.
But it could be much better.
She gave the genie a sidelong glance.
A wish to clear up my skin, though? That seems kind of lame. I mean, proactive's a thing. Besides, I suppose someone as cute as I am has to have one flaw, she jested.
The genie opened his mouth to say something quite rude, but smothered the comment with some effort. Instead, he just smiled.
Of course. Still, something to consider,
he said lightly. Chrissy knew her burgeoning teen hormones had not been kind to her. Her fingers coiled a little tighter around the lamp. Just a wish.
No, I'm not going to make a dumb wish like that. I need to save my wishes for something more important. Something that can help other people, not just me. That's the heroic thing to do,
Chrissy decided, summoning a grin. She quirked an eyebrow at the genie.
Thanks for telling me I have gross skin, though. Appreciate it.
Anytime,
said the genie graciously. As he bowed and turned away from her with a curled lip, the genie noticed something hurtling toward them. He started and dodged to the side, allowing the thing to collide full throttle with Chrissy and knock her right off her feet. She let out a strangled yelp, finding herself abruptly pinned under a squirming mass of ink and paper shaped into an enormous rat. The lamp skidded away across the concrete.
Ah! Get off me!
Chrissy shrieked as the glider scrabbled at her. It hissed, and her head swam as if someone had just blasted an air horn in her ear. With an electric crackle, a shot of fierce green light collided with the beast. The glider shuddered and melted before Chrissy's eyes, its weird ebony sludge pooling around her on the sidewalk. Chrissy rolled over, following the trajectory of the shot over to the sight of an armored woman wielding two blasters. One, still smoking, pointed at the space directly above Chrissy. The other pointed toward Rosetta Boulevard.
If you cherish your world as you know it, you'll stay out of my way,
the woman barked over her shoulder. Chrissy gaped at her.
Oh, let her stay for the show, Vesper,
taunted a sing-song voice. Another woman, almost as bizarre-looking as the first, stepped delicately through the air on levitating panels of shadows. They inexplicably materialized beneath her footfalls like a flight of stairs. The lady carried herself with the grace of a ballerina and held an object that vaguely resembled a violin, but it seemed to slither and shimmer beneath Chrissy's gaze. As Chrissy watched, the woman docked the violin beneath her chin and drew a bow with a flourish and a smirk.
I'm just getting warmed up.
She riffed the bow across the instrument and the street blared with a heart-piercing melody. The surroundings writhed, churning into rodent shapes. They surged into attack in a disgusting, pulsing mass of inky black flesh. Vesper snarled and began firing rounds of vaporizing plasma into the fray, trying to take down the violinist. But the musicians seemed to avoid her fire effortlessly, spinning and ducking and sweeping in a mesmerizing dance as she continued to play. Her teasing, tinkling laugh somehow carried over her music as her warped minions laid waste all that lay in their path toward Vesper. Chrissy knew a villainess when she saw one. Her expression of confusion and fright shifted into a bold grin.
Ha! A warm-up, huh?
She said, leaping to her feet.
Well, let me bring on the heat!
Still smiling like an idiot over her wordplay, she socked her fist into her palm.
Let's light it up!
There was that rush of heat, the sense of weightlessness, and the brush of an outrageously voluminous ponytail against her back that Chrissy had learned to welcome. She twirled on the spot just to feel her hair swish around as raw power coursed through her body. Vesper and the violinist stared as the teen transformed before them. As if a sci-fi battle chick and a musician that could turn walls into rats were somehow more normal a sight on Saffron Avenue than a girl in red spandex. Spark giggled at their astonished faces before launching forward to join the battle. The violinist recovered first.
Cheeky brat,
she growled. She ducked and ran, faster than Spark expected, toward her. Spark pulled to a stop in confusion before they could run headlong into each other, and the woman stopped too, with a deft jump backward. Her violin and bow more fluidly, the former into something that slung around the woman's body, and the latter into a long, sinister-looking object. Spark realized nearly too late that they had become a quiver and an archer's bow. She yelped and dived to the side as the violinist let fly a black arrow. Its vicious tip sank into a telephone pole. There was an unearthly hiss, and the telephone pole rippled like a reflection in an agitated pool, blackened, and began to melt. Spark felt a weird wave of pressure in the side of her head closest to the melting pole that forced her to land and stumble slightly.
Is the distortion a little much for you?
Asked the woman sweetly as she docked another arrow. Frankly, the answer was probably yes, but Spark wasn't about to show weakness.
Ha! You wish!
She kicked off hard against the sidewalk to launch herself into the air where the violinist levitated with haughty poise.
Who do you think you are, anyway?
Spark asked, even as she volleyed another shot at the woman. This much closer, however, Spark could see that she wasn't a woman, quite. Rather, a girl. Not much older than Spark herself, though her makeup and dress made her look more grown up. She was garbed like a harlequin in a fitted bodice and a skirt that was bustled in the back, revealing sleek legs clad in dance tights. Dark curls flowed beneath an odd curved hat and framed her partially masked face. She whirled out of the way of Spark's shot, again with that maddening, chiming giggle. She skipped across more tiles of shadow in the air as if this were no more than a dance recital, then turned and curtsied.
Serenity,
she responded as she rose from her bow.
Not that it's any of your business. And you? Some kind of circus performer, I wager?
She said, launching another arrow at Spark. Spark dodged the shot, sweeping her eyes over Serenity incredulously.
You're one to talk! You look like a Vegas sideshow threw up on you!
Serenity made a noise somewhere between a scoff and a laugh, placing her hand over her breast in a dainty display of shock.
You've got lip, little girl.
Yeah? Well, you got a dumb hat!
Spark spat. Okay, she wasn't going to win any clever comeback awards with that one. It was getting harder to focus on witty banter as Serenity's intensity increased. Serenity's bow changed from instrument to weapon and back again so quickly that it was hard to keep up. Something about the brief bars of music that she drew from her violin made Spark's head swim. Seemingly to the music, the gliers below swarmed and lunged. Vesper was fully engaged with both blasters trying to repel the horde, while also obliged to radically parry the shots volleyed by Spark and Serenity.
What are you doing?
Vesper demanded when Spark found herself swiping past her to get out of the path of an oncoming arrow.
I believe I'd call this saving the day?
Spark said. At once, a sharp pain tore through Spark, and she landed heavily on the pavement and might have collapsed if she hadn't braced her hands just above her knees. Her whole shape jerked and flashed. For a split second, she was Spark, then Chrissy, then a vapor of ink and paper and calligraphy, then Spark again. All she could do was stare wide-eyed at the ground, breathless and dizzy. She vaguely heard Vesper yell and the electric crackle of a plasma blast colliding with one of Serenity's arrows. It was over as quickly as it started. Spark staggered shakily upright, just in time to find herself a few inches short of a full-body glider tackle. She gasped and chucked a firebomb as hard as she could at it, reducing the monstrous rat to smithereens. Another followed right behind, and Spark was forced to hop back in the air to gain a better vantage. Serenity skipped and twirled along the outer perimeters of the battle. Vesper swung around and fired, but to no avail. Her shot collided with a shadowy barrier that leapt up from the street around the violinist. Spark wasn't so easily deterred. She arced back and swan-dived down, unleashing blast after blast until the dark wall shattered into black flecks. With the opening, Vesper took another shot, and this one connected with Serenity's violin. Serenity hissed as the glossy black instrument jolted from her hands and shattered against the asphalt. The moment the violin splintered, so did the swarm of gliers. Their oily forms shimmered and cracked, and then they were gone, leaving their mistress standing alone on the battered street. She snarled.
Looks like curtains for you, maestro!
Spark said, tossing a firebomb up and down in her hand.
Don't you want the encore?
Serenity jeered, raising her hands like a flamenco dancer. Spark's smile wavered as she saw shadows beginning to form around the villainess, but Vesper didn't wait for Serenity to muster another distortion attack. She took aim and fired both blasters. Serenity crouched and sprung straight upward into an impossibly high backflip, corkscrewed in midair, and vanished from sight before she hit the ground. Spark released the breath she'd been holding and allowed herself to drop back to the street. It was over, then. Her second battle as a superhero, and she'd even gotten to banter this time! She grinned at her new comrade, who was holstering her weapons and looking around at the damage. Spark crowed, holding her hand up to Vesper eagerly to invite a high five. But instead of accepting the gesture, Vesper rounded on the teen with a bolus. It snapped around Spark, lugging her to the ground. She was so startled she couldn't even squawk in protest. The next thing she knew, Vesper was standing over her, her blaster pointed directly at her face.